Hey there, everybody, and welcome to this special E3 edition of the Tetracast, the RPG site podcast. Zach is not here. He's actually on the other side of the room, so fuck you, Zach. You know, if you're listening for his dulcet tones, the reason he's not here is we're here to talk about Square Enix, because Zach was focused on other things, on all his niche anime games, which he's so good at covering, which is the truth. I'm being nice. And the people around this table are the people who I think have seen the most of Square, or in my case, talked to the most of Square. Mm-hmm. I've probably talked more than I've seen, to be fair, this E3. So I'm joined by Erin.
Hello.
And by Andrea.
Hello.
And by Josh.
Hello.
And I'm Alex, of course. And yeah, so I think Square had a pretty good E3.
Yeah.
In the broad
aspect. They had a solid showing. They had they brought FF15, Dragon Quest Builders, I Am Setsuna, Star Ocean. They brought a lot of big hitters here.
ASX.
I think their booth is stronger this year. I mean, they didn't have the big announcements that they had last year, obviously, like Remake and all that, but the booth felt better this year. There was way more. There was a range. Last year it was like Heavensward blocked off this whole corner, and then a couple things.
I was quite surprised at how little space that had, actually, because I was really surprised. What was it, 8 stations? Is that right?
For 14 something this year?
Yeah.
No, it was 8 stations.
I was really surprised that it was so dinky, but I mean, it made sense because there was a lot else to show.
Unfortunately, that made the line like an hour wait.
That was rough. I guess they pitched to Andrew that was like maybe a 20-minute wait. We sat there for like maybe an hour and a half.
It was definitely an hour.
Yeah.
This was definitely an E3 of long lines. But I guess so I guess we should go down their lineup.
Let's start big. Let's start with Final Fantasy 15 this year. Let's go to the heart of it.
So obviously they were at their Microsoft thing, right? And we there is a Microsoft reactions from us, so go listen to that. And it wasn't good at Microsoft. It was bad. It was pretty bad.
It was, I would say, shockingly bad, because I just kind of sat there in disbelief after witnessing what they had to show.
Well, it strikes me as primarily, more than anything else, just a really poor demo to choose. Mm-hmm.
Just to clarify, that they demoed like this, the same thing as the Microsoft Cars, Challenge of the Titan demo.
Right. It's a big boss, and I think they wanted to show off, maybe. They wanted to go, look, we can do God of War.
The scale.
Yeah.
But or we can do God of War or Bayonetta or whatever, but
it was messy.
But not even that, like, it's not even, the guy was bad at the demo, but just that fight itself, like, watching the mechanics of it. So Titan throws his arm down, and he pushes it across the screen, and Noctis, of course, like, gets hit by it, and he just phases through it, and it looks so bad for him to clip through that.
Yeah.
There should be, like, a repercussion for getting hit by that arm. You go backwards with it.
And I think, it ended up looking worse in comparison to the Scalebound demo later in that same conference.
Right, yeah.
And I don't know, I think part of it was, it wasn't a great playthrough of that demo, because I think... Having played it, I think, I'm not boasting, but I think it looked better when I played it.
We've gotten better at it, too. Yeah. The way it starts out is different than what they showed as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I feel like if they would have maybe started from the actual beginning of the demo instead of jumping in like they did, it maybe would have been a little bit better.
Yeah, they started the demo like that little narrow, like, cavern thing.
Right.
Like you go down this, like, ravine thing, and then there's, like, some Magitek armor soldiers, like, you know, introduce you to controls and whatnot, and you only have Gladiolus and with you, because all four of them don't start with you at the beginning. It's just Noctis and Gladiolus.
Right. So, and you have to do some running around. Mm-hmm. And
there's some context behind why they stumble upon Titan.
Right.
But I don't think the context was the problem.
Exactly. Yeah. Definitely not.
It definitely wasn't a context.
I think the thing that stuck out is, like, it was very jarring, confusing. The camera work is, like, I did not enjoy the camera work at all. I barely knew what the hell was going on screen.
Half
the time.
The camera was definitely not good.
No.
To put it nicely.
Even playing that game, like, outside the context of that demo, that camera is, it's kind of...
The camera is janky at the best of times, but when you put in this massive, massive, gigantic boss, it just exacerbates the whole issue.
Right.
And that's my feeling about the demo. It's like, the demo makes the game look far worse than it, I think it... It probably will be.
Yeah.
Because it's not a good vertical slice.
No.
By any stretch of the imagination.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Which kind of sucks, you know, because especially because they had an embargo lift, what, on Tuesday? Where people who went to Judges Day and other affiliated events around the globe got to play the first, what, 2 hours of the game or something like that. And those previews were overwhelmingly positive. It does feel like they took a step backwards at E3.
I mean, it's not even just the Titan boss fight itself. It's their E3 trailer with, what's the composer?
Afrojack.
You know, I don't want to give them too much shit for the music thing. Like, I get it.
I don't, because they have a fantastic composer
at their side. But I also think back to, there's that launch trailer for Final Fantasy XIII, the Japanese launch trailer, where they have the main theme song of that game, you know, Dear My Friend or whatever the fuck. And that's a really good, really strong trailer, even if it's full of melodramatic anime bullshit dialogue. And so this trailer of a techno remix of the Chocobo music, I'm like, it doesn't speak to me so much. But then there's other aspects of that game they've shown at this show.
The VR, but none of us, I don't think, got to play it except...
Both of us have played it.
Oh, you both played it. Oh, okay, okay. I want to hear.
Well, it's fine.
Yeah.
Like, it's a very early VR tech demo.
So how does it actually start? So when you put on the headset, how does...
When you put on the headset, it kind of puts you right in with the Behemoth battle.
Okay.
And if you played Episode Duskai, it's the same.
It's that battle.
Yeah. And you can, it's basically like an arcade shooter, so you shoot them and then you can dodge around using the warp button.
It's Time Crisis, basically.
Okay.
Yeah.
Except instead of ducking, one of the buttons on the move controller is dedicated to warping, so you point at a location and you press, and then you're there.
Okay, but it's nothing like, not, it's like not, there's like, not Noctis's warp, it's just like, just the...
You just move to different areas.
It's how a lot of games like that are handling movement at the moment. Okay. Like I played Fallout 4 VR earlier this week as well, and that's the same thing. You're pointing and clicking to move to a location.
Okay.
And it feels, the shooting felt good, I felt like. I think you and I preferred opposite ends of that, right? Like,
at the end of the demo, after you beat the boss, you get to sit in the car and you can look around. There's like a 360 degree view of the car, and they've got the Prelude music going, and you know, it was nice. It was a nice little experience.
Yeah, and she liked that more. I'm not interested in this weird girlfriend experience.
I didn't care about that part. I just liked that, you know, you could just look around the car.
But I thought the shooting was quite, you know, it was fine. It was good. But the flip side of that is...
Is it really necessary?
It's clearly something where Sony has gone to a lot of... Well, maybe I say clearly, maybe I'm wrong. But I imagine Sony has gone to a lot of publishers with a big bag of money and said, please make PlayStation VR experiences.
And they are planning to release this, apparently. Not with...
Same with the Batman demo, right?
Not with the game launch, but they said it's DLC.
Yeah, and that Batman thing I played today, it was like, it clearly wasn't a game, but I think DLC. Maybe it'll be a free download. Yeah.
So, like, so it's mandatory to have the base game.
It could be just a standalone free thing. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if they use it to try to entice PSVR owners into the main game, even though the main game isn't VR.
Right.
And that was fine, but, like, what I meant when I said about the other stuff they showed at E3 actually was that they've been doing these streams and they've had these lovely videos of the airship, well, the car ship, whatever you want to call it. and wait mode. So, like, wait mode is like one of those... When you're in E3, you're in a bit of a bubble. You don't learn about things. So, like, the first I knew about wait mode was when a Square Enix PR, when I went in for an interview for another game, said, have you seen wait mode? And I said, no, and he pulled it up on his phone and showed me. And I really like the look of that. It looks like... Did you see that?
I did not. So, what is wait mode?
So, wait mode basically turns it into Dragon Age. So, at any point, you can hold a button on the controller and it pauses everything. And then you can issue orders.
Oh, well, that's the same as cool.
Like how when you bring up the powers wheel in Mass Effect or something. And
that's cool, though.
Is it just like queuing up actions, like so you decide everyone's action?
Considering how that battle system plays, that's what I need to control some of that chaos of what's happening.
Yeah, I mean...
I don't know if you can queue up actions, but you can choose...
You can choose an action.
Okay.
Yeah, and your target or whatever. Yeah.
Okay.
And you can, you know, that was the kind of thing they sadly weren't demoing it at E3. That's the kind of thing I would have liked to have seen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't see much footage about that. So does it like switch like the camera angle of like the like just underneath like behind Noctis? Does it go to, like a more?
It stays as it is basically, okay. But you can then move the camera around within that. So the action pauses, but you can move the camera. So you can then look around to see what enemies are around. And it's actually like you go into the menu and it's an option you change, active or wait. Yeah. So very traditional Final Fantasy in regards to the terms they use.
For sure.
And I like that. Cool. And I like the airship videos.
I saw a little bit of that.
But it's that classic Final Fantasy 15 thing where they just don't quite seem to tally with the other stuff they were showing. Like some of the screenshots they put out were so bad.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you end up in a situation where you're like, how do these two things go together? That airship footage just looks so good.
There's a weird cognitive dissonance that's always happening with, like whenever they show Final Fantasy 15, like to what's out in the public, but they show me.
It's the screenshots where there's a story on the site which has the E3 screenshots on it. So if you want to see those, go to rpgsite.net, find the E3 hub by searching E3 2016 in the top banner, and find the Final Fantasy 15 like E3 update story in there. And you'll see those screenshots, and there's the two which have the woolly mammoth enemy in, which has an official Final Fantasy name, and I forget what it is, which shames me. But
Garula, I think.
Something I like think that. That's right. Yeah, and but they look so terrible.
I don't know. Like I feel like they're sort of inconsistent with what they've been showing. Like you said, the airship video looked, you know, pretty solid, but then you have
the airship video looks gorgeous, and then those screenshots look terrible, and I can't marry the two together in my mind.
Then you have like that Microsoft demo, which was, you know, pretty bad, but then, you know, the trailer, aside from the music, was you know, pretty good. So it's like, you know, they keep going up and down. It's like this roller coaster of just weird marketing.
Well, it's hard to get excited with the confusion. Like, whenever I can't figure out which one I'm supposed to be expecting, it's hard to get excited for the game.
I think it's been a rough E3 for them, but I really hope that... I will say also, I want to say that I... The new Kingslave trailer that they put out during E3, I think was pretty good.
That was good.
I haven't actually gotten a chance to watch that.
That was good.
I saw it on the big screen like when I was walking past, and I stopped and watched it. Mm-hmm. And I really like the look of some of the characters. I know you're not as big as fan of that as I am.
No.
but I really like the look of some of the characters, and I think that film has a chance, but obviously it's very hard to judge a film.
Whenever I see Kingslave, it's just so jarring, like the style... The stylistic differences between the character models in that and in the actual game.
It's
like...
Like, I feel like if they changed them for the movie, they should have just went all in and changed it in the game.
See, that's interesting because for me, I think that's the sort of artistic approach I wanted to see for 16. Or whatever they do next. I think... I say 16, but I think they should drop the numbers. I think it's ludicrous. Just give them subtitles, I think. I mean, we'll get onto this, but I think... The Zodiac Age is a great subtitle, and I think it's proof that you could just have a Final Fantasy, the Zodiac Age, and it works.
I mean, that's been the tactics. That's a favorite. It's been done.
Yeah, but like, either way, I would like to see that art style used in the game, basically, because I think the way characters look is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not saying that like I don't enjoy it. I just wish there was a consistency between those two. Like, I enjoy like I do like the models between both. It's just like it's weird seeing. Luna, is it
Luna Frey?
Yeah, Luna. Yeah. Like Luna in Kingslave versus Luna in game. It's just like it seems like that. Like in Kingslave, she aged for like 5 years. In
she just looked a lot older in Kingslave.
Yeah, but she's supposed to be in like 24.
But is that just a Japanese Western difference? Because in Kingslave, she does look 24. In Final Fantasy 15 proper, she doesn't probably look 24. I would say.
Yeah, she looks like more 2021.
Yeah, teenager. But. I just think it's been a difficult and perhaps slightly unfair E3 for that game.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe that's Square's fault, maybe that's marketing people's fault, who thought this was okay. Because I feel like there's been a series of... Like, I don't think Platinum was a good choice either. I think if you're trying to attract people to this game, Platinum is a far worse demo than Duskai was, because Duskai is actually the characters you're going to be playing as. If you're trying to attract a broader audience, how much of that broader audience is going to be put off by playing as a kid for half an hour? Even if you get old Noctis at the end, and I feel like this is exactly the same mistake, just made again, but unfortunately made on the biggest possible stage, which was a hardware holders press conference.
Yes, for sure.
Which is unfortunate.
Yeah, it was... definitely kind of a, like I said earlier, a kind of an up and down showing for them.
But the stream stuff they did was good, and I have high hopes for that game. I really hope it does well. So
yeah, late September, early October is going to be interesting times, because we won't actually get a good read until the whole product's out.
Right.
They've got a lot of polishing and a lot of work to do between now and September. So
best of luck.
So after that, they had, and I think this is probably one that only I did, but we might as well get it out of the way. We had, sorry, there's some crazy stuff going on across the periphery of our vision, where a man is crawling around on his hands and knees. That won't play well in the audio version, but if you're on the video version, you'll see our reaction. And if you're on the audio version, youtube.com/RPGsitenet. But I think I'm the only one who played it, but Deus Ex.
I watched.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was able to watch some. I was able to play the Deus Ex Breach for a bit.
Totally blind.
I had a really interesting conversation with the producer of Breach Mode, and mm-hmm. I'm terribly sorry I forget her name, but there will be an interview with her on the site. And the way they explained it was really fascinating to me about, you know, a lot of RPGs, Mass Effect or Dragon Age, for instance, add a multiplayer mode to add the replay value, and they've chosen to add this instead, which is like this challenge mode that's quick to play. Mm-hmm. And the word she used, which I thought was really cool, was arcadey.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the main game's serious, but you can do these little scenarios, and I really liked the look and the feel of that.
Yeah, it's very, like, just for people who don't know, just real fast, Deus Ex Breach is basically this little arcade challenge mode that, like, you go into a little sector, and then you download, like, these little bits of data, like, basically hacking, but you're playing the hacking part of it. It's like a little dungeon thing that you go through, mm-hmm. and then you download it, and then there's a timer that starts, and you have to get out of there because, you know, they'll find you. So, and then there's like a loot part of it, like that you get like little trading cards and something, like you get out of it, and then so you can like put that in your inventory, like gear up for the next one. And the really weird part about it is like how the visual feel of it is like you're like a little polygonal man or woman, not even a political model. It's just like you're going through this, and it's everything's like even the little gun things, like your arms are all polygonal, and it's like very puzzle based at times. Like you have to say you're trying to get this part, you have to hack this little node thing to get platforms up and then maneuver around that. So instead of a multiplayer thing, like you were saying, I think this is actually, I can get behind this because they can do a lot of experimental level design through Breach Mode.
Yeah, it seems cool to me. Right. And I said to a representative of Square Enix, I said, I think you've got a Game of the Year contender on this stand. And he said, what game? And I said, Deus Ex. Also Hitman, for the record.
Which, but if I we're feel talking like about, they've sort of, like, they're not giving it the sort of attention that it maybe deserves.
I worry, because it is a month before Final Fantasy, and I worry that the focus will be such mm-hmm. on 15, the Deus might not get its due diligence. But I do think it looks absolutely phenomenal. There is, I think it's good. It's in my pocket right now. But a really good interview for that game coming. And they're saying all the right things, and they're teasing me about, you know, how it's going to tie into the original Deus Ex and things like that. And I'm really, really excited about that. And it's one of those games, like, I didn't need to see very much of it at E3 because Human Revolution played great, and you give me a better looking version of Human Revolution that runs smoother and all that sort of stuff, I mean,
yeah, I'm also very glad too that, like, just all the most out, like all the flaws, the outstanding flaws in Human Revolution, like the boss battle sequences,
yes.
For example, like they're like, okay, we're not outsourcing that anymore. It's definitely be more integrated, you know, into the, like, you can negotiate with them. This you can go to this, like no one goes a complete non-lethal run. You don't have to kill anyone this time around. So I'm excited because it's just basically expanding tool sets for both stealth and all guns blazing approaches. Because, you know, in the original one, like the gun handling in Human Revolution, like it was very skewed in that aspect that, like, it didn't get its fair due mm-hmm. on like the stealth portion of it.
I'm really excited for that game. And you could make the argument that perhaps it was shortchanged a bit at E3, but I think it didn't need to show that much because it's clearly a very confident game in what it's doing. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have too much to prove. I just hope the marketing as we approach launch
gets stronger. Even before E3, they were fairly quiet. So.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Which isn't necessarily a bad thing.
No, sometimes that's, you know, quite confidence. You don't need to show much. But
it'll definitely be one of those that, like, it'll hit us, like, from the side, all of us, and be like, wow. And that's what I'm hoping that it'll do. For sure.
I think I'm assigned to do that review, and I'm excited to do it.
Yeah, I think so.
I think so.
Definitely going to get it, like, on launch day, though, just to check it out, because... I'm confident.
But again, it wasn't a huge show, and there's not a huge amount to say about it. The interview was really good. They were lovely people. It was the lady who's the... She shows up in a lot of the streams and stuff, the creative story director for the whole series. And she had some really interesting things to say about... especially I asked about, you know, their attitude towards covering sensitive topics in a sci-fi universe using this mechanical party term, which... potentially is touchy-feely. And she gave some really great answers around that, so look for that on the site. There'll be a text interview up.
I did enjoy that little bionic arm they had on the little setup. Like, you can just go up to the screen and then it'll sense your hand, and there's a bionic arm like in a glass case right there, so any like little gestures you do on there, it'll like mimic it one by one to one. That was like really cool. They're like getting that other aspect of it, like, you know, for disabled and whatnot, and That's a really cool thing to show off.
So, Deus. Final Fantasy 12.
The Zodiac.
I have
thoughts.
So, I haven't... so, basically, I've watched somebody play this, but I haven't played it myself. You've played it,
played
right?
It.
I
did play it.
I played it.
Okay, so I'm the only one who hasn't. But I did interview the team. So... based on playing, what are you thinking?
This was a game that, like, the first time around, I didn't like it. I don't think it's unfair for me to attribute that to the game based on how my experience was with it at the time. So when they announced this, I was excited just because I want to give this game another chance. Because I think it absolutely deserves one. I like the setting. I do like some of the characters. A good chunk of the story that I remember I liked. It was a little disjointed, but I still enjoyed it. The music is fantastic. But when I played it, I think it's pretty. And then I put on the headphones, and my first reaction was, oh my God, is this broken? Because I thought that my headphones were messed up, but it still sounds like everyone is talking like this the whole time.
So are we talking about... The music's
fine.
Okay.
It's just the audio quality.
It's really, music is fine. It's beautiful, as always. And, you know, we're walking around and I hit a scene and everyone starts talking and I'm, like, furiously messing with my headset. What's wrong? Nope. And I turned around and I'm like, what's going on? No, that's how it sounds.
So that's the issue out of the game, really. Like,
there are other issues.
I wouldn't write it off. It's very early.
And also, like, it looks like from somebody who stood back and watched it.
Right.
That game has aged beautifully.
The art is excellent. It's still gorgeous.
The art design, like, that is still one, like, it's that still stands very test of time.
Pretty. So I wouldn't write it off for that, but it was very jarring to have such a gorgeous game in this audio that sounds like everyone is, like, yelling in a wind tunnel. Like, it's...
I wonder about that. Like, did they just lose
the
source?
I hope so.
Is that something that's fixable?
From what I know from people that I've talked to, actually, the game's lead localizer, Alexander O. Smith, told me once, he wouldn't say it directly, but obviously gave me the hint that, you know, yes, they have higher quality audio files around. So
hopefully maybe that gets to be plugged in between
just
now.
A when's temporary thing.
Next year.
There is a long way to go. Okay.
So that can be fixed. This is not a deal breaker.
But there's other things with that demo that I'm concerned with, too.
Okay.
Because, they have this new fast-forward node that you can turn on L1.
That was actually in the original Zodiac version.
Yeah.
The fast-forward is in that?
Yeah, it is.
Okay. I did not know that.
But, like, it felt more responsive in that one compared to this one. This one, it just felt like every time I would activate it and then, like, I try to turn it, feels like I'm going to, a pinball. You know, I just bounce from ball to wall.
I didn't do it.
That definitely happens in 7 and 9 as well when you turn those modes on. Yeah. Well, PC or PS4 for 7 and 9. But I guess that is it is fast forward. It's mostly used for getting through trash battles, right?
Right.
Yeah. So it definitely helps that game because you have these large expansive areas and the original, you know, you really couldn't speed that up. So there's a lot of walking. And there was also just there was something about the faces in it that like kind of rubbed me the wrong way. Especially, it was most a noticeable on Bosch for me.
See, I don't have that problem.
Something about the palette is just like kind of like pasted on. Like
even though the faces are quite flat and the mouths move like, I mean, they're not quite as bad as original Deus Ex mouths.
No.
Where, I mean, those are my favorite video game mouths of all time. Where the original Deus Ex mouths are that. they're not quite that bad, but they do have that thing around them.
But I
don't have that. Like, I feel like all those models just translated beautifully.
Except for Vaughn. But that's because I don't.
Well,
I was in an interview, and it was an interview I shared with another journalist, Mr. David from the Metro, mm-hmm. the great UK newspaper, and he did ask them about if they were tempted to change Vaughn's character design, and I quote, "give him a vest," which was a great interview question. So, props
Revenant
to you, David.
I like that suggestion.
Yeah, but yeah, I thought it. What I saw, I didn't suffer that audio problem because I only watched. Right. But what I saw, I really enjoyed, to be honest.
That's good.
And it is a great game. Mm-hmm. I think I did an interview with them. It's pretty clear that. They're not going to change any story stuff, and mm-hmm. it's not going to come out on the Vita. It may come to PC.
That's disappointing. Yeah.
And just from the way they were talking, it seemed like they wanted to hear noise from fans. I think the actual truth behind that is
they want you to buy it twice.
Well, yeah, you know.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, as you again. Probably won't be up by the time you hear this, but eventually there'll be an interview up on RPG site, and he does straight up say, you know, he doesn't quite say that, but he gets pretty close.
Yeah.
So, but if it looked good, I just really hope they fix that audio issue. Yeah.
But I still think that like it's great that they're doing this, especially finally bringing the International Zodiac version to the Americas.
Yeah, right. I always feel like Square kind of like shoved 12 under the.
Just unfortunate.
It's
like one of those Final Fantasies that like really tried to do something different. Like it wasn't really about camaraderie. It was more about people who banded together but had their own agendas on the side. There was more to the.
It
had a greater
like
story.
The way
than
the
just
world
them.
Was designed and
the story of countries instead of just like a party.
Well, but also, and I love 12.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, but I went by their booth a couple of times, and it broke my heart every time I went past. Because the queue for Kingdom Hearts 2.8 was always three or four times as long as the queue for 12.
I tried to play that and I couldn't, but I walked right over to 12 and immediately
Zodiac Age
and
is usually
think
about that many people.
That's probably telling of something.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, mm-hmm. to be fair, the Kingdom Hearts one did have a brand new
that is
prologue.
True. That is
so
true. Yeah.
It did have that going for it.
I think it had more you could explore too. Like it was longer, wasn't it?
I think so.
It was bigger.
It had both of the games, but the main draw was of course the new content.
Right.
Yeah. We've sort of segued into that anyway. Now, did anybody play that? Because I didn't.
I didn't get to.
It was pretty.
It was pretty. I wasn't able
I
to play
there.
It was always packed.
I stood there for a long time and was like, wow, this is beautiful. Can't wait to play.
I sort of watched a little bit of it, but like, I'm not a huge Kingdom Hearts
fan. I'm not really invested too much in the story.
It.
So.
I will say this. That game looks gorgeous. And
it's really pretty.
I think it showcases that perhaps the problem with 15 is luminous, because Kingdom Hearts 2. Whatever the fuck looks great.
Yes.
And
it
looks so crisp and it runs really smoothly.
Yes.
Which are all the things that 15 doesn't have.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, every time I caught a glimpse of that demo out of the corner of my eye, it looked silky smooth.
It was.
Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't get to play it, but I stood there and watched it for a long
time. I didn't want to play it, but I was just, like, there was just so much else that was going on this week, so.
Is 15, like, going to be their first and last game on the Luminous, or do you think they're going to...
Well, I mean, when you look at their other games, Kingdom Hearts 3, Dragon Quest 11, Final Fantasy 7 Remake, they're all on Unreal Engine 4, so I mean...
I do think there is a sense of pride around Square, though. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of those games are on UE4 by necessity.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can have their next big tentpole title run on something in-house, they'll do it. I mean, keep in mind... Yep. Luminous, let's not mince words. Luminous is a piece of crap. like, it's clear it's failed to work out. But they have engines in-house that work really well. I think Deus Ex, the Dawn engine, it looks beautiful. They definitely have some really janky animation in that game, but I think it's sort of due to the slightly open nature of their game. Yes. You know, that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And the engine, Glacier, that Hitman runs on, Hitman's a really, really nice-looking game, I think, especially considering all the emergent AI systems that went on. And we're not really going to talk about Hitman on this because we're focused on the RPGs, but I went to see Hitman this week as well, and
technically impressive.
The stuff they're planning for that game is pretty fucking cool. So, you know, like, yeah. So, but Luminous, man, like,
didn't last long.
I mean, like we said about 15, it's inconsistent, right? Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes it looks amazing, and sometimes it looks a hot garbage, and it's hard to even believe that those screenshots could possibly be taken from the same engine, leave alone the same game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What did look lovely, however, was I Am Setsuna.
Yes.
It did.
So I played a bit of that, and I also interviewed them. Did anybody else play it, or did you just look at it?
I played a lot of it.
I looked at it.
Oh, you did?
I played a lot of it.
Yeah, well, it seems like they had almost the full game up there, because you could just play and...
There were like two builds of it there.
Somebody we know, yes, indeed.
Yeah, and it wouldn't cut you off, so...
There was one that was clearly supposed to be a demo, and then I guess there's another build of it that's like, it seems like the full game of it.
Well, it's out pretty soon, right?
Yeah.
Well, and it is already out in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the interview, they said all the right things. They were talking about wanting to bring out emotion in the player.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about not wanting to tell a specific story, but wanting to let players find the meaning and the emotion themselves. Things that a lot of modern games don't do. A lot of modern games are like, this is the scene where we're going to make them cry. And they seem to... And he was a lovely man. He was very nervous, I think. Well, not. I don't want to say he was nervous, because I don't know that, but he was very softly spoken and seemed perhaps like he hadn't done too many interviews. And he was lovely. And, yeah, I mean, any game that evokes Chrono Trigger, I'm cool with.
There's a certain, like Christmas crispness to, like, the whole little
Christmas.
Christmas. It does feel like Christmas, though.
I believe it. Isn't it always snowing in that
game?
Yeah,
it's always snowing.
And the soundtrack is all piano.
Yeah.
That was something I didn't know until I went into the interview.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know until I went into the interview, and he said it in the interview, and I was like, it's all piano? And I really love that idea, because it's minimalist and simplistic.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even the graphics, I mean, they're not anything, like, super amazing.
Yeah.
They work.
Yeah.
And just like I love like the way that they direct the music, like through the piano, because there's definitely like a certain sort of tempo that they go with the piano, and like I love how seamless it is that it transitions to it, like whether it's battle and getting out, shifting out of battle, and then there's a boss encounter, and then there's a certain, like, it feels like that there's never like a sudden shift in track. It's always one seamless track in it.
Sorry, I'm laughing at something that's going on off camera. Or off mic, if you're listening to the audio version.
Everyone in this apartment is stupid.
There is a man snoring on our sofa. Basically, I will give you the visual, the audio picture. There's a man snoring on our sofa. Oh, he's awake. Welcome back to the modern world. While we talk about Square Enix games. And now he's making a wanker sign at me. Please do visit Nintendo-Insider.com to hear the latest from this man. But yeah, coming back to the topic at hand, I really like the look of Setsuna. It was a good review, but not a great review in Famitsu, which I was quite surprised by. But everybody sort of knows Famitsu reviews are bought and paid for on kind of bullshit. So I'm curious how it does in the West.
Yeah. It's very like they've always been bitching. That's very traditional, old school, and that's exactly what you get from this. You have this like Chrono Trigger like battle system. You have your attacks, texts, magics. And whatnot, you have your, I think, up to three party members at once in battle. Is it three or four?
I think it's three.
Pretty
three.
Sure it's three. But, it's a simple tale, but it's seems to evoke a lot of emotion. That minimalistic piano sound direction does a lot to the game. Because, I think this is definitely one of those games you definitely want to, like, have a good set of headphones to, play. during it. Yeah. I think that's going to be well worth it.
And the Vita version is coming out here, right?
No, unfortunately.
No. Oh, okay.
It's only the PlayStation 4, and then it's getting ported to PC.
Nice.
Well, it's coming out the same day.
I'll get PC, but that's a shame.
It is, because it seems like it would make for a great
cat. That's something I would play on my Vita.
They're very inconsistent about it, because is Builders coming to Vita?
Yes.
They're weirdly inconsistent about that.
And then they flip also.
Oh,
is it? So World of... Was there anything there, or was it just there in the form of
trailers?
There was a trailer, and then they did a Square Enix Presents.
Okay, but there wasn't anything of any...
You couldn't play it or anything.
Mm-hmm. I'm interested in that game.
Which I thought was kind of unusual, because it's coming out in October, yet they had...
Dragon Quest Builders.
Well, that's in October, and then they had Final Fantasy XII, which is in...
Next year.
Well...
Yeah. And they also have Kingdom Hearts, which is coming out December.
Yeah,
did
they have
Kingdom
Hearts.
Presents? Really? Square?
They do. It's weird at Gamescom because, well, they always have a huge public booth, but then in private, in Germany, Square stuff is actually distributed by Koch Media or Koch Media, whichever way you want to say it. And so they share with them. So they never have quite as big a private stand, which means there's less interviews and stuff for people like us. But they always have a absolutely huge, like as big as their E3 booth or larger.
So maybe we don't touch that game.
There was
until
one
it
year.
Out.
There was one year at Gamescom where they had an E3 stand that was the size. They had a Gamescom stand that was the size of this year's E3 stand, just for 14, and then they had a separate stand for everything else.
I appreciate that.
Jeez.
they tend to go in pretty big at Gamescom, so hopefully that shows up. And they definitely have a habit of putting stuff out. Like I remember, there were no press appointments, and I walked through the Gamescom public floor, and then in the middle of the Gamescom public floor, there was Final Fantasy Explorers hands-on, and it had never been hands-on in the West before. And I was like, what the fuck?
See it there.
So they definitely, potentially, maybe World of Final Fantasy will be
September,
there.
October.
I hope so.
Yeah.
That's right up on time, so...
Yeah, and I'm excited about that game, because I like Crystal Chronicles, and Final Fantasy IX, there's a lot of those people working
there's
on
a lot
it.
Of potential in that game. Like,
it looks really
so
good.
Adorable, and that seems to run well. And it's just... I don't know too much about the game. All I know is that you can stack onto monsters.
Well, it's got, the biggest draw of the game is it sort of has this traditional, active time battle system. Mm-hmm. Or you can switch to the more modern, action-based.
Is there, any sort of benefit being in that little chibi form or being in, the more human-based form?
When you're in the smaller form is when you can do the stacking.
Okay. Yeah. And what do the guest characters from other Final Fantasies do in
it? So the guest characters are kind of like summons. They come out and they do special abilities. Cloud will come out and do Omni Slash, or the Warrior of Light will come out and do his thing, and stuff like that. So.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that game.
A little love letter game.
It is
always my favorite.
Like there's space for that in the franchise. Right. I feel like. Speaking of, I didn't get to touch it, and I don't know if it was on the stand, and I don't know if any of you have touched it outside of the E3, but I spoke to the guys who, or rather the guy who is behind Brave Exvius.
I didn't touch it. I looked at it. It was empty, and I walked by it.
Now I'm fairly well known for being really into Record Keeper.
Well, the main reason I don't think any of us really bothered is because they accidentally released it early.
Yes,
and you can still get it.
Not in Europe, but yes.
Yeah. So you can find a way.
You know what I mean. It's just I'm not going to take the time to do that.
I do want
to
play it.
Yeah, I think we have an hour preview of the English version already up on our...
On the Nova Crystallis YouTube. Yes. Yeah, Tony did that. But,
is kind of hilarious in its own way, but...
He said some really nice things. What I didn't know is the guy who is in charge of this, more or less, is the guy who handled the porting of 3 and 4 to mobile.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And he seems to have a strong feeling about Final Fantasy in general, and talked to a great deal about his love of Final Fantasy III in particular, which seems to be a running theme. Like Yoshida loves III.
Yeah,
he does.
And I'm
seven.
And so I'm interested to try that out. I don't know if it will drag me away from Record Keeper, which is a game that I truly adore. To be honest,
invested too much.
Maybe that's the problem, right? I'm too deep down the rabbit hole.
Right,
can't quit.
But I really like that. But speaking of Yoshida, so 14.
It was there.
Yeah.
But it's something we've done a million times.
Yeah, they had the battle challenge, which mm-hmm. was pretty fun. And, you know, getting people together to do the,
the carry.
A fight that's already in the game and, you know, carry some people.
Right.
Thank
but,
you.
But, you know, I got to talk to
got a free shirt out of it.
Yeah, so, I saw him too.
So did you get, you know, obviously... I think this will go up before your interview because transcription is a pain in the ass. So
yeah, and it is definitely a little longer, mm-hmm. But it was really good. He had a lot to say, and a lot of the stuff I asked was a little more on the technical side, so mm-hmm. people can look forward to that. But
is there anything you felt was a like paraphrasing that was a standout, like that you think people are going to be well fans are going to be interested in?
He talked about a lot. Well, we talked about a lot. Like the raids mm-hmm. and the things that they've learned from it and going forward, because right now the high-end raid has sort of been a piece of I guess contention between some players just because
right.
of the difficulty levels, and you know we talked about the different things that they learned from that and how they're going forward, and they hope to make something that more people can sort of get involved in.
Right.
Okay. And you know, do you feel good about its presence? Do you feel good going into the, I mean, the assumed expansion announcement?
Yeah, and he wouldn't, you know, obviously he wasn't going to comment on that since FanFest is in a few months, right. but, you know, he did sort of give some hints here and there about what we can expect, so definitely looking forward to the story. He did say that, you know, with 14 they want to continue pushing that story, and mm-hmm. you can really see that in Heavensward where they took the story and they put it even more toward the front compared to like 2.0, so
that's,
definitely something to look forward to.
Heavensward's better than the base game.
Yeah, oh yeah. Definitely.
Definitely a lot better.
I appreciate the love. You know, it's not a game I play, obviously.
Right, right. But and it's funny because we also talk, too, about, you know, people who look at 14 and they say, well, you know, it's an MMO, and most MMOs don't really focus on the story.
Right.
But that's with 14, it's actually the opposite. They put the story as, like, you know, the centerpiece mm-hmm. of the game, and, mm-hmm. and they want to get those Final Fantasy fans in there to experience that story.
Right.
I'm definitely... It's the kind of thing I'm tempted to do, but it's time.
It is. I have friends, though, that subscribe just to... Like, they only come back during the patch. And they play the patch, and they play that 1 month, and then they're gone again.
See, that game for me is Street
until
Fighter.
Until the next.
That game for me is Street Fighter.
I do know a lot of people like that, but, you know...
it's so good.
Again, they want to see the story.
Right.
And, you know, they want to see, like, you know, the new raid or the mm-hmm. new boss battles that they add.
So... Is that everything?
Star Ocean.
Oh, yeah, but that's basically it. So, Star Ocean.
That was my first time playing it, and that's what I'm most excited
for. Well, I mean, you feel free. Like, you, what did you think? Because as far as I'm concerned, right. I go home from here now,
and
Star Ocean, I should have a copy, within a day of getting home.
Maybe I'll review it. I think that's...
Yeah, I think you are going to be reviewing it, but... But what did you think of the little bit you played? Because I played about 3 hours before E3.
I think I probably played it for about 30 minutes, I guess. It's not very long, but... I mean, I've liked every single Star Ocean game, even the dreaded last one.
I fucking love Star Ocean 4.
I love that game so much.
It's so gloriously stupid. It's so fucking stupid.
I never played it.
The main character's got this Edge Maverick has this reverse Midas touch where everything he touches turns to shit and everybody dies.
Right. Oh my gosh, I remember it came out like, what was it, 2 years after Mass Effect, first Mass Effect, mm-hmm. and like they
was
tried
it really that late.
Yeah.
Huh. Holy shit.
And I remember they tried to bill it as this like Japanese Mass Effect.
It's completely not, but yeah.
Did they really do that?
Well, it felt that way because
you know, the Western Fortress.
They like changed all the anime style stuff to like CG. Like
the CG,
but
a little...
it was so good. Oh even God. Though I'm pretty sure we're the only people in the world to ever say it was good. But this game, it felt like all of the old ones. Like everything I've ever loved in a Star Ocean game feels like it's there.
The thing that I like is that it's 60 frames a second, mm-hmm. it looks gorgeous, it's got all these primary colours and stuff going on.
It's beautiful.
And you can have all these characters on screen mm-hmm. at once, and
a little chaotic.
And there's all these spell effects crazy. Going off and all that sort of stuff, and it just looks badass.
It is. It reminds me a bit of a chaotic Final Fantasy XIV fight, but at all times, with like everything turned up. And there's so much going on, I got lost a few times, but...
Yeah, you can have up to 6 characters now in battle.
In the seamless battles, crazy. Like, I got confused at first because I ran into a monster and I was, like, waiting, like, I had completely forgot about that aspect, and I was like, why aren't we, you know, why isn't there, like, a transition, and all of a sudden everything is hitting me, and then, like, 3 people died instantly, and it was a struggle. I was on the struggle bus there, but it was amazing, that transition. Awesome.
Yeah, I forgot about that too, because you see these 3 mobs, like it was a little cavern area, and then you see this little opening, there's 3 like little skeleton mob things, and I go in there, and I'm like, okay, that's right, so I go into battle, and then they all get pulled into that battle. I'm like, oh, okay, they're not like separate encounters, these aren't like 3 separate things.
You can pull some stuff.
No, they all come towards you, it's like, oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah. What is her name? Fiore?
Is this the scantily clad?
Okay,
mate?
She's my favorite.
Is she the one whose underwear got changed and then everybody got angry?
No, that was the...
Oh my gosh, I'm forgetting names. There's a pink-haired lady that you're referring to, and then there's the witch one that has a checkerboard.
Yeah,
outfit.
It's like she spit way too much fabric on her hat.
The one they changed was the... like, I think her name is Miki... Maybe.
Oh my gosh, I'm forgetting the names already.
If I can't get my upskirt shots, I get really angry.
Well, she's still great. And I don't know, her kit was great.
I need my upskirt shots in my JRPGs. How dare they censor it? I let myself in for a world of
Twitter. It sucks because
a world of Twitter anger. Yeah.
There's so many eggs. Okay.
I remember like all the Star Ocean protagonist names except this one's name for some reason now. It's like
a French name.
Fidel?
Fate. Fidel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Fate Line Guy.
That's
though,
Star Ocean 3. Yeah.
What a great name.
Edge Maverick, though. You know what that motherfucker's about. Like, you know. If somebody's called Edge Maverick, like, you know, he's living on the edge and he's a fucking maverick. Like, no question. Oh, Star Ocean 4 is such a good game. Like, oh, my God. I remember playing that game and I played it with my friend Sam. And, like, we pretty much played the whole game together. And I just remember us, like, nearly crying with laughter at some of it. And these were scenes that were meant to be serious. But they were just so ludicrous. Another game like that, Eternal Sonata as well. I remember the ending of Eternal Sonata, we were in floods of tears. And not the tears the developers intended. We were just creasing.
There's that one part in 4 where, like, a planet explodes, but there's, like, dragons. Like,
what?
I really hope that Star Ocean 5 is all that bullshit, basically.
Me too. And the Star Ocean 3 plot twist, like, I hated it at the time, but
looking back, I was like,
and I should say, I met that developer.
Fucking 4D.
He seems great.
There's an interview of him in the bag that I just need to put live.
Right.
And, you know, he's sort of like, he's lovely, lovely man, really personable, really excitable, and... We talked a lot about more serious stuff like Akiman's art and all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I asked him what he was most excited about for the future, and he said VR. And I said, why VR? You know, the type of game you make, does it fit VR? And he said, well, the thing about Star Ocean is you go around these games being really cool and there's all these cute girls that really like you. Imagine them liking you in VR.
Oh, no.
I want that attention. I was like... Yes, my man, you are an honest person, and I really liked him. He's a really, really lovely man, and I really hope the game does well for him. And that's the thing; it's a nice performance showcase. Maybe because it was a PS3 game as well, but it does run so slow, Suze.
It was nice.
Yeah, so smooth.
Mm-hmm.
Just like even like when all these effects were on screen, like it kept that frame rate up, and
it
didn't
freeze
I was so
or anything during all that.
Yeah, they're. Freaking amazing how they like were able to like just squeeze out so many things at once while everyone's like doing some fucking flashy skill, and it's like, we'll run it.
So it plays just like any Star Ocean game.
Yeah, you have
like,
your 2 attack buttons,
and I think there's nothing wrong with that sort of Japanese RPG combat. I feel like there's a big push right now of everybody's got to be the Witcher. Everybody's got to be the Witcher. Everybody's got to be fucking Dragon Age.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever. Trolls, yeah.
Yeah, and I appreciate that this isn't that. So, was that it for Square? Was there anything else on that stand? Oh, there was Dragon Quest Builders.
There was that, and they had Nier, but it was in like World of Final Fantasy was only a trailer, and that was
and then
pretty,
some
though.
Select press saw it.
We live in a world where like Nier for the longest time, like people were kind of about it, and like when the game was like, okay, that's cool, and like oh, all these plots up, but now we're like all in like this world,
well,
like everyone's like on board because
with Platinum putting out a lot of bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of stuff getting put out that's crap from them. But
yeah,
I've been seeing a lot of headlines that say Nier is the Platinum game that you want.
Right.
And so I'm pretty interested to see.
I'm hoping it, because Platinum lately is very hit and miss. And that's one of those...
I gotta be honest, they could just release the soundtrack for that game and it'd be like a 9 out of 10.
I haven't actually played Nier, but...
They could just put out like a
soundtrack.
PlayStation disc that would just play the music and nothing else. And it
would
be like a 9
different.
Out of 10, so...
Yeah, they always freaking deliver, like, whenever Taro's games are released, just... composing team behind those.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but other than that, that was pretty much... I think it was a good E3 for them. Right?
Yeah.
But Dragon Quest Builders, though.
So, well, I mean, it's fine. There's a,
it's a known quantity,
it's
you'd say.
It's coming out.
Like, you know...
I was amazed they decided to bring it over.
Yeah, I didn't think we were getting it. I thought I was importing that.
Yeah, I thought I was going to import it, too.
And is that coming for Vita as well?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's surprising. That's what I mean. Weirdly,
that to me a great portable
game.
Yeah,
they kind of pick and choose. Like, there's some other like mobile titles for like it came out in Vita in Japan, and then mobile as well. But they're only bringing over the mobile versions. It's really
yeah, strange. Like Romancing Saga 2, for example. Like they only brought mobile versions over, and then now they're like going back and like doing the Vita version.
Actually, Kawazu came out himself and said, hey, we're working on the Vita version for overseas, and people were like, what?
Please don't panic.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, okay, well, if he's saying it, then, you know, that's pretty much it.
But yeah, I do feel like, you know, I think it was obviously a misstep with 15 this year. But I do feel like it was still a really strong E3 for them.
Yeah, it's so weird because they did the same thing at Gamescom last year with it. I don't know.
Yeah, that Dawn trailer.
I'm the only person that liked that. That's the sniff and hair one, right?
I mean,
yeah, that's an accurate description.
It wasn't only that, though. It was like they promised a whole bunch of information, and
it didn't
happen. It's where the Tabata drinking beer meme came from, because like rather than they turned the beer to
the
camera. Thanks to my friends at CD Projekt Red for this Polish fine Polish beer from my friends at CD Projekt Red. It was that, right? Like,
was it? There was like that Q&A where they just kept saying, "We'll answer that question later."
Yeah, they're like, "Well, we can't talk about this right now." Well, why even bring it up?
Yeah,
like it was stuff like that.
That.
It was, that just, I don't know. It was just really weird messaging, and they kind of.
I hope we get closer to that game. There's definitely things I personally want to ask about it. Like, where's all the black people?
That's another one I'm surprised you didn't get this year.
Well, they weren't really doing it, to be fair.
Yeah.
Very few people did it, and I'm fine with it. But like, it seemed like a misstep for that game, and I feel sorry for them because they are working so hard. Like, I know so many people on that team who are working so hard day and night to make the promotional cycle for that game work, and it just felt like at some point something got tangled in the message and the wrong demo was chosen, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope they can come back strong at the next show at Gamescom or whatever else.
It's Gamescom.
With a really strong demo that can showcase a broader thing. It's like what they probably need to do is more like, you know, remember the 4 years we went to consecutive Witcher, like, appointments at E3, and everyone was an hour, and they showed us a really long, hour-long vertical slice from that game.
Great.
And we never came out of that going, I don't understand what this game is.
Right.
Because they took the time, and I think they probably need to do that for 15. So hopefully they do that. But I still think, even in spite of that, like with all the scripts and stuff, it was a strong E3.
It was.
Yeah, for Square, definitely.
Yeah. So, you know. But
good on them.
Yeah, I mean, there's a good variety. Deus Ex looks absolutely amazing, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have
you know, all these other Japanese RPGs coming out. Iron Setsuna, Star Ocean, Dragon Quest Builders.
Star Ocean being important.
I think you just want to remaster Star Ocean 4.
Yeah.
Okay.
You could re-release Star Ocean 4 on anything, and I'll be happy. So, I mean, that's their E3 lineup, and I guess that's our discussion about it.
Yeah.
It's a pretty cool deck of stuff.
Good stuff.
It was an interesting year with all the 15 drama, but you know, all things told,
soon.
Much better than last year, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, last year they're, like she said earlier, they had 14, and I can't even remember what else.
I think Life is Strange was there.
Yeah, they had
I think last year they tried to ride on, hey, we announced the fucking Final Fantasy VII remake.
Yeah,
there was a lot
with no dates.
They did also have that like conference last year.
Seven remake was a pretty big deal last year.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, they did have that conference with the Kingdom Hearts 3 trailer.
The Star Ocean
the
reveal.
The man in front of me had like an emotional breakdown over that. I was like really concerned.
Oh my god.
Oh shit.
See, now you're making me remember that conference where there was some guys in the front who were like,
they were also hollering. Having an emotional breakdown. Yeah.
They were hollering, and it was just like, oh my god.
So I didn't go to that one. My main memory is of being really hungover in that one where they just confirmed that Kingdom Hearts and Final Fantasy were coming to Xbox One, and just like sitting there and being really, really hungover, and then getting up and asking a question and having the most question dodgy answer.
Yeah.
I can't remember what the question was. Oh, it was about PC ports. It was about PC ports.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they were like, yeah, right.
But anyway, it was a good E3. There's going to be a lot of great content out of the Square stuff. So keep an eye on RPGsite.net and indeed NovaCrystallis.com for more of that. And yeah, there'll be plenty more E3 content from us, unless this is the last thing we put up, in which case there won't.
Goodbye.
So yeah. And if that is indeed the last one, we'll see you on the next full TetraCast. So, Aaron, Andrea, Josh, thank you so much. I've been Alex. You'll probably hear Zach next time. Unlucky for you. See you next time.
Bye. Bye.